Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
I'm going to get straight to the word this morning. I showed the earlier service a picture of my family, but you'll get to meet them at Summit, and they're all coming over, as well as a whole heap of Adelaide people, but I'm just going to preach the word. Who loves the word of God here this morning? Anybody? And the rest of you, well, you're here and you're going to get it anyway. All right? Romans 12, if you've got your Bible, why don't you turn to Romans chapter 12? If you don't, you can have a look to the screen and follow along with us. God wants to speak to you this morning. I believe that he wants to shift something in our hearts for this year. Are you ready? Here we go. Therefore, this is Paul speaking to us. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters. Any brothers and sisters here this morning? Okay, cool, great. In view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, not as something that's dead, not as something that's just moping along, not something that is just sort of getting our way through, but a living, alive, come on, robust, strengthened sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Paul goes on to say in verse 2, do not conform. Do not conform to what? To the pattern of this world. What's he talking about? Right there, the pattern of this world speaks about that pre-Christian us, that pre-Christian version of us that is continually struggling to not go back to the old way of living and the old way of thinking, right? You got it? But Paul says, so don't conform to that old you. He's speaking to Christians here this morning. He's speaking to people who said yes to Jesus, but maybe the world and the pattern and the thinking of this world has just began to wear people down. And Paul's saying, do not allow the world's thinking to wear you down, but be transformed. Be transformed. That word transformed literally translates as changed. Be changed, be transformed. Why? How? By the renewing of your mind, a new way of thinking. A new way of thinking. Then, I love how Paul just gives us this great, in two verses, he just gives it to us and he makes it really easy to get. He goes, you do all that, don't conform, but be transformed. Allow your mind to be renewed. Get a new way of thinking. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I love that because it doesn't just give us a direction, but it gives us steps along the way. But it also tells us that if you follow those steps and you do this thing, this is what's going to end up happening. You're not going to live in moments of breakthrough, but you're actually going to live in breakthrough. Come on. You're actually going to live in a place where you continually see the hand of God, you see the provision of God, you see the will of God being outworked through your life. Now, the thing here is that Paul, he's not speaking from something he's read. He's not going with some theory that he's picked up in a book somewhere or was being discussed at the local meeting. But he's actually talking to us about something here that he's experienced for himself. He's actually speaking from a first-hand knowledge. In Acts chapter 9, you can read an account in there in the first 9 verses, and it's known as Saul's conversion. And it's where Saul had an encounter with God on the Damascus Road, and through that encounter and through the process of that encounter, he gets back up. And he's never, ever the same again. Completely changed and transformed. Never the same again. And so what he's talking to us about here in Romans isn't something that he picked up, but it's actually something that he's experienced in his own life. And here's the thing this morning, and here is what I want us to catch, is that God wants you and I, just like Paul, he wants us to be transformed. He wants our lives to be transformed. He doesn't want us to conform. God has a plan and a purpose that our lives would be transformed. You know, when I think about conforming is what religion looks like. It's actually what religion looks like, because when we think religiously, everything needs to look and sound the same. You know, follow the 5 steps and do this, and it's a whole bunch of rules. Anyone like rules? I was talking with Ernie on the way over, Pastor Ernie. We're talking about road rules, and anyway, but rules. You see, but religion for us is conforming. It's looking and sounding the same. You know, we can tell what some people's religion is by the clothes that they wear, by how they look. But who knows that that's not Christianity? Transforming is what Christianity looks like. Come on. Transforming is what Christianity looks like because it changes people. It's from the inside out. It's a change of mind. It's a change of heart. Here's the thing. You can't tell a Christian by how they look, but you can tell a Christian by how they live. You know what I'm saying? You know, have you ever met someone, you've met another believer and you don't know they're a believer, but you know they're a believer? It's not because of the clothes they're wearing. It's not because of the way they look. It's because there's something spirit. You know when a life's been changed and there's something about that person that's different. You know what I'm talking about? I wonder this morning, is there anyone here who in my Father's house, what a great theme, I said that already, but in my Father's house, is anyone here, your life, your marriage, your finances, relationships, your health, has anyone experienced the transformation in their life through God and through His power? Anyone? A few people. Good news is that not everyone put up their hands, so today could be your day. You're in the right place. It could be your day. You see, I believe that my Father's house is a house of transformation. Now, Paul, as he writes to us, and we see it in Ephesians 4, but he speaks similarly, but we see here that Paul knows, as he's talking to us as followers, he knows that we've got a problem in our humanity, and the problem is our thinking. Yeah. He understands that the mind is actually the root of all our problems, and so he's encouraging. It's why he says, I urge you. He's not like, hey, if you feel like it. He's not like going, hey, flip a coin and work. He's going, no, I urge you. He says, I'm strongly encouraging you. If I could do it for you, I'd do it for you, but I can't. It's something that only you can step into. But he's like, I urge you to be transformed. I urge you. You see, what is he saying to us? He's saying, I just know that if we can change the way we think, we can change the way we live. That's what Paul's saying to us. He's going, you know what, the way you're living, you don't need to live that way. There are some people here this morning in 2019 looked a certain way and it didn't live up to expectation. It wasn't what you were expecting. It wasn't what you're believing for. Well, I've got good news for you this morning. I've got great news for you this morning. Paul's saying, you know what, if we can get a transformation, if our minds can be renewed, if they can be aligned to the kingdom of heaven, if they can be aligned to the word of God, if we can start getting more of what God has to say about our lives into us than what the world has to say about us, then I know that if you can begin to get a change in mind, you're going to see a change in the way that you live. As I said, Paul's very helpful. He doesn't just throw that out there as a great sort of, you know, hook and go, hey, here you go. But he actually takes it a step further and he says, you know, there's a couple of things you're going to need to do. If we're going to conquer the mind, he says, you've got to refuse the mold. He says, you've got to refuse the mold. He says, do not, what does he say in there? Do not conform to this world. That word conform literally means to mold. Right? It means to come, to be restricted. It means to come and be controlled, to be shaped, to be restricted and to be pushed into something. And he's saying, do not allow the world to squeeze you into its mold. That's what he's saying to you. He says, do not allow it. He says, do not allow the world to squeeze you into its way of thinking. Don't do it. Don't allow the world to make you like it. But he says, you know what? As a Christian, as a follower, I urge you to be different. To be different. And he says, but not only be different, but to remain different. And this is a really important point because sometimes we start off the journey really well. Sometimes we get a good start and we go, thank you, God, for being there. Thank you for blessing my relationship. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. And so we should. And we get off to a good start. But I want to let you know, God is not just the God of the start. He is our source, church. He is our source. He doesn't just want to be there at the beginning and then go, there you go, run off. Enjoy your life. God is not just our start of things. He is our source. He's our source. And I think it's so important for us as Christians and in our faith to understand that we're not just to start different, but we've got to somehow find a way to remain different, to not be squeezed into the world's mold. And so he goes on to go, well, how do you refuse the mold? Fantastic. The second thing he shows us here is he says you need to shape your mind. He says you need to shape your mind. In that first verse, he says, be transformed, what? By the renewing of your mind. That word transformed, the English word we get for transformed is the word metamorphosis. You would have heard that word, maybe at school, maybe in biology lesson, I don't know, something like that. Wasn't my strong suit. But that word transformed is the word metamorphosis, and it speaks about that process that we all know of a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. Here's what's really interesting about a caterpillar to look at. Boring. Let's be honest, when you're thinking of beautiful animals, caterpillars not getting a mention. True? What's your favorite? Oh, I love caterpillars. I've never heard anyone say that ever. But I've heard a lot of people say, I love butterflies, they're beautiful, they're pretty, they're graceful. Understand something about the butterfly. The caterpillar always had the seed of a butterfly on its inside. It was always there. And it's the cocoon, the metamorphosis, the transformation process that takes what's on the inside and begins to manifest it on the outside. And it's this whole picture of metamorphosis. It's this whole picture of a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. You may look at your life today and go, Josh, I feel like the caterpillar. Well, I've got good news for you this morning. Within you are seeds of greatness. God has stamped your life with destiny. He has stamped your life with something beautiful. He has a plan and a purpose for you. There are things lying maybe dormant on the inside of you, but as we commit, and as we actually recognize that, you know what, we're not called to conform and just go with the flow, but God wants us to be a people who are transformed. As we go through transformation, those seeds of greatness, those seeds of God that are deposited, you're created in His image. Before you were even formed, He knew you. And those things, God's passion is to see those seeds of greatness within you begin to manifest through all parts of your life, through your marriage, through your family, your kids, your career. Sometimes we're just happy if we see one thing. God's saying, no, I actually want to manifest my greatness through every aspect of your life. You go, Josh, that's good. I want it. What's the key? Metamorphosis, transformation. Because what's on the inside of you needs to go through a process so that it doesn't just stay on the inside, but it begins to manifest on the outside. That's transformation. And that's what we see here, and that's the shaping of the mind. See, I believe this. There is a battle for our flesh. Have you noticed that? The pattern of this world is trying to approach us, and the tactic of the world, the tactic of the enemy, is to go after your flesh. It feels good. You need this pleasure, right? Paul knew the battle because he says in Scripture that my spirit is willing, but my flesh is. So he knows the battle that you and I are in. He understands the journey. He gets it. But he also says to us, and he gives us an instruction. He's like, you know what? There's a way through it. There's a way to overcome it, and it's called transformation. And here's the thing. Only when our mind is changed, and it's only when our mind is brought under the power of God. And that's what this is about. Paul on the Damascus Road had a supernatural encounter with the presence and the power of God. I'm praying for you and believing for you this morning and for your year that you're going to have some God encounter moments. I don't know about you, but I need a God encounter. I can't do this. I need a God encounter. I need a God encounter. But it's as our minds are changed and brought under the power of God that our flesh then begins to come under that same power. And then we can begin to experience what? God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. Yeah, I want God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. How do I allow your mind to be renewed? Allow your mind to come under the power of Almighty God. Allow the presence of God to flood your life. Get yourself into God. Get yourself in His presence. Get yourself in my Father's house. Immerse myself in God, then we will experience God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. Here's a few things to note. Transformation is firstly a process. You see, when Paul had that Damascus Road encounter, there was a powerful moment at the start where he just goes down under the power of God. And he has light comes, the heavens open, it's like, poof. But if you continue to read what happens beyond verse 9, you see that there was a period of time where for 3 days he couldn't see. He had no natural vision. And it says that there were like scales over his eyes. You see, in that process, in that 3 days, God began to realign his vision. God began to realign his purpose. God began to realign his focus. God says, you know what? I'm changing the way you see. I'm changing the way you think. And as a result, I'm going to change the direction of your life. That's what happens when we stick to the process of transformation. Where we start is not where we finish. And Paul started persecuting the church. And where does God get him? Building the church. He's running Christians out of town, and now he's running them into the house of God. What a transformation. What a transformation. We need to understand transformation is a process. Something else about transformation I think is important for us to understand, and it's this. Transformation, it is deliberate. It's deliberate. It's not accidental. It's deliberate. Colossians 3:2 says to us to set, meaning to place, your minds on the things above, not on earthly things. So we have a choice to make about where we want to set our minds. We have a decision to make to go, what will I feed on? We have a decision to make to go, you know what? What will I actually give focus to? So transformation, we need to understand, is a process, but it's also deliberate. And really following on from that and similar thought line is transformation is not automatic. Well, I said yes to Jesus. Isn't that enough? It's a great start. That's where it all starts. All of us have to have a start point. We all have to have a start point. And when you said yes to Jesus, that was a miraculous start. But God's not finished with you yet. God's not finished with you yet. God's not finished with you yet. And sadly, many Christians remain caterpillars because they neglect the process of mind renewal. Every time in all services I said that, the room went quiet. It's good. We're thinking about it. We're thinking about it. But we remain caterpillars because we neglect the process of actually having our minds renewed. We maybe enjoy the experience. We enjoy the buzz of being in church. We had a moment. We're at a youth camp. I don't know, whatever it is. And I love the touch of heaven. And I love a God encounter along with the next person. But sometimes if we're not careful, we can have these moments that are superficial, but we actually don't commit ourselves to the process of actually having our minds renewed. What am I talking about? We neglect to focus on what our mind is feeding on. And so we have an issue of what are we feeding on, but also the frequency in which we feed. Who knows that feeding once a week's not enough? A few people. Anyone here got a dog? Wave to me if you've got a dog. Wave to me if you love your dog. I bet you don't feed your dog once a week. You wouldn't feed your dog once a week and expect for Fido, Ralph. My dog's called Crash. Yeah, he's a very interesting dog. But anyway. But I don't feed him once a week and expect him to be healthy. There's a feeding process and there's a feeding frequency. And so I believe that you and I, we need to be diligent over what we feed on. We need to be diligent and we need to pay attention to the frequency in which we feed. So I would encourage you, don't be a once a month a church person. Be an every week church person. Why? Oh, you pastors always push about that. Yeah, because we understand that when we align ourselves and put ourselves in the place where God's people are and where God's word is being preached and where we can come under the word of God and the teaching, our minds are aligned, our minds are renewed, and we're transformed. I want to encourage you this year, don't be a once a week feeder. So I'm going to make an assumption this morning, which again is not always a good idea, but I'm safe on this one. Looking at what Paul encourages us with here, I'm going to make an assumption here that every single one of us in this room today, we want to be people who are transformed and not conform. I'm going to make that assumption. And so the question then is, that's great, but how? And I thank you for asking that because now I'll answer it. First thing is, real quickly, is we've got to make a choice. We've just got to make a choice. I've tried to make these points so simple, anyone can do it. And the first thing is, you've got to choose transformation. Remember I said, it's not automatic. It's not just I said yes to Jesus, so now I'm waiting. No, I said yes to Jesus, and now I'm in the process. I'm in the cocoon. And I'm going to choose transformation. Do not conform, but be transformed. Here's the thing. If I'm not transforming, then I'm going to be conforming because you can't be doing both. I'm a simple guy. I'm a one-dimensional male. Ladies, please, this is not the time where you nudge your husband or the men around you. Sometimes it's good. You see, it's very spiritual to be focused on one thing. Jesus said to Martha, "You're distracted by many things, Martha. But just one thing is needed." So when Sharon says, "Oh man, like, can you have more than one thing?" No, just one thing's needed, Sharon. Just one thing. It's very spiritual. But I understand this, that I can't be conforming and transforming. It's one or the other. It's one or the other. There's no wriggle room. Paul didn't give a third option. He says you're either conforming or transforming. So we've got to choose. We've got to choose. We've got to choose what we feed our mind with. We've got to choose what we feed our life with. You go, "Josh, what does that look like? I just want to give you some practicals. Is that okay?" You go, "What could that look like?" You know what it could look like? It could look like this year joining a friendship group. Joining a friendship group, going, "You know, I'm making a choice on what I feed and with the frequency. So you know what? Sunday's not enough for me. I need more. I need more, so I'm going to a friendship group. And you know what? I need more, so I'm going to School of Discipleship. And I need more, so I'm doing Grow Track. And I need more, so I'm going to serve. So I need more, and I'm going to go to Covenant and Bloom Conference. And summer, I'm all in. I'm all in, baby." Why? Can we just break a mindset here? Pastors are not obsessed with stats. We don't just sit at stats and just look at, we look at people's lives. We're passionate to see you succeed. We're passionate as pastors to see your life go from glory to glory. We're passionate to see you be an overcomer. We're passionate that your life is transformed, that your family's transformed. We're passionate to see every aspect of your life be all that it, we're passionate for those seeds planted by God, not planted by us. Planted by God, our job is to come alongside and try and help those seeds of greatness come to fruition. And so when we talk about things like this, it's not about attendance. Come on. It's actually about a choice. It's actually about positioning. It's actually about setting ourselves and placing ourselves in environments where we make a decision over what we're going to feed on. That's what it's about. Second thing we do is we serve God. Romans 12:1 and the New King James Version says, "Present our bodies as living sacrifices, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Yeah. Reasonable. You know that word reasonable there in the Greek is the word logikos, which is where we get the word logic from. Logic. So what's Paul saying? He's saying, you know what? Presenting your body as a living, presenting your life, not waiting for eternity, but now, living today. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. It's actually your logical service. It's like it's a bit of a no-brainer. It's like, duh. Like, why do we spend time debating this? Why do we spend time arguing? Why do we spend time going, "Oh, should I?" Or should it's our Paul saying it's our logical. It's logical. It's like, duh. Why would we even debate it? Why would we even go, look, I'm just going to spend the first 3 months of 2020 just seeking God, just to see if he wants me to serve in the house. Why are we doing that? Oh, well, Josh, I'll be careful how many people I offend the first time around. All I know is that Paul's, in this moment, he's saying it's illogical. Serving is spiritual, but he's saying, you know what, there's just a logical part to it. And to give your life to the one who gave you life, it's just logical. It just makes sense. It just makes sense. And it just works, right? I was saying to Pastor Ernie, I'm like, you go to these Asian countries where they don't have road rules and it's just chaos, but somehow it works. They have less accidents than us. Everyone's beeping and I'm like, who's beeping? Everyone's beeping. But you know what? It's this weird thing. I said to Pastor Ernie, it just works. You know what? Serving God and giving our life to him and serving the house, I can't give you the 10 reasons why. It just works. It just works. It's logical. And so what is the goal of presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice? It's to serve God, to give our lives in service to God. But I understand this. How do I serve God? Well, one massive, big, important way that I serve God is by serving people. Serving others. I serve God by serving others. I know this to be true in the Enjoy Church world, across all of our locations. We don't need you to serve because we need a job done. We need you to serve because there are people to reach. And there are people that you can reach through your service that I can't reach through my service. But if we all just play our part, if we all just commit to serving, we serve God by serving people. We serve in the house. We serve at Summit. Why? Because as we serve, people are being reached. People are being impacted. People are finding out who Jesus is. People are coming to the knowledge of Christ. So we serve God. Last thing, stay the course. We just got to stay the course. So we choose transformation, we serve God, and then we just stay the course. So important that it says there, Paul says at the end, he says, do all this, boom, 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 boom. Then he says, then, not any earlier, then, do these, boom, boom, boom. Then you'll be able to test and approve. So test is to go, is it working? The test is to go, have I gained traction? The test is to go, you know what, am I heading in the right direction? You'll be able to test and approve. Yeah, God's moving, God's working, my heart's changing, I'm becoming more like Christ. Those things that he planted on the inside, they're starting to come. I didn't even know they were there, but they're coming out. God's using me, God's blessing me. I'm testing and approving what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Young people, I used to lead in youth ministry, the biggest question was, I just need to know the will of God. Yeah, we'll find the will of God when we just serve the house of God. A lot of people are confused about the will of God. Just begin to serve God. Just begin to give your life away. You will find the will of God, I promise you. I want to finish with this little story. I want to bring us back to that butterfly. You see, when a butterfly comes out of the cocoon, there's only one way that it can strengthen its wings so that it can actually fly. So that when it leaves that cocoon, it doesn't become dinner or lunch, but it actually can do what it's intended to do and fulfill its purpose. And what it does is it begins to strengthen its wings inside the cocoon, not outside. Come on, hear me. Inside the cocoon. And it begins to strengthen its wings by beating its wings against the cocoon. And as it does it, the muscles in their wings grow strong. They develop, they mature, they transform. And what scientists will say is that if you were to come along, and I remember doing this as a kid and I didn't know, and I'm really sorry to that caterpillar, but you break that cocoon open to it and you try to help the butterfly get out, you short circuit the process, then it will not have the strength in its wings to fly. What is the purpose of a butterfly?
Well, to fly, I suppose.
I don't know what else they do. But they fly and they look pretty, right? Well, here's the thing. You have a purpose. And your purpose is to fly. But there's a key to flying. We've got to stay in that cocoon. We've got to make sure that we don't bail out. When we get offended, we don't bail out. When the pastor challenges me, we don't bail out. When the leader gives me feedback, we don't bail out. When I don't get the opportunity I was looking for, I don't bail out. I stay in the cocoon. You know what? It's going to be uncomfortable. I feel like I need more. I need expression. Get me out of here. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes it's not fun. But if we understand the process of transformation, we understand that those moments of frustration and those moments of being painful, that are painful, those moments where we just want to do more, those moments when nobody's noticed me, they're all a part of my strengthening, they're all a part of my growing, they're all a part of my transformation, and they're all a part of what God wants to do to see me fly. Enjoy Church exists for you to fly. Enjoy Church exists for your family, your relationships, and your marriage to fly. Don't abort the process. Stay the course.